Hey, Elizabeth here. In this episode, Amanda walks us through some reading habits that you may not have considered before. Three habits for your daily reading life that look a little bit more like virtues.
Hi, I'm Trisha.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Elizabeth.
And welcome to Book Fair Podcast.
Do you love books or do you want to?
Are you tired of picking up the latest new release and finding it's filled with junk you don't want in your life?
Has motherhood somehow made your brain a dusty shamble?
Friend, you are in the right place. We are three friends and mamas on a mission to create a fun, bookish community, pursuing a deeper life through the reading life.
We are your trusted source for books of all flavors.
Always grounded in truth, goodness, and beauty.
So, if you're ready for scrumptious literary fare among friends,
grab your cup of coffee, your load of laundry, or the steering wheel,
and pull up a seat at the table.
Happy second week of the new year. We're going to start off today just talking about a couple of new things going on that we're super excited about. If you did not hear the episode last week, we have launched a website. Elizabeth, can you believe it? We have a website.
This is so real. We are real. We are a real one.
We're so excited. So if you have not seen our fabulous new one-page website, go to bookfairpodcast.com, all one word, no capitals. Not that all that really matters. I mean, the one word does. But bookfairpodcast.com. And this cute little yellow box will pop up and ask you for your email. And that if you insert your email, we will email you a free gift. And this free gift, let me tell y'all, is pretty amazing. It is a five-page printable PDF of resources for you and your kids. Things we've recommended on the podcast in all kinds of different categories and resources for finding books for you and your children. So we are super excited about this. We want you to have it. Drop us your email and then we will have it. And then we can let you know about upcoming book fair events, especially for those of you that aren't on social media. But even if you are, sometimes you might miss an announcement on social media. So we are not going to spam you. We're not going to send you a bunch of emails. We will not. We will keep it private. But we will just keep you up to date on major book fair happenings. And in order to provide an extra incentive for going, looking at the website, giving us your email for the first 7 weeks of the new year, we are drawing a name for a Book Fair sticker pack. This is an exclusive 7 Book Fair stickers designed by Amanda, quotes from all the way from C.S. Lewis to Nate Bargatze. So you are going to want this exclusive sticker pack. Only 10 people in the country are going to have it when it's all said and done. The three of us and 7 of you. The world.
Right.
So leave us your email. All right, Elizabeth, what else are we giving away today?
Okay, so it was so much fun with our little holiday giveaway that we, every week for the month of January, will be giving away a Book Fair mug to someone who got on their Apple Podcast app and left us a review. So today, in my big box of names, I am pulling out Neva Hoffman. Neva went on and wrote us. Yeah, I like when I know, like, it's a name. I'm sure I can contact that person. I always get nervous when it's something, when it's a code. So Neva says, after listening to these ladies, I always feel more informed about books, challenged to read a new genre, encouraged to keep reading my old comfy books, and a feeling of just having visited with good friends. Love it. Neva, thank you so much.
We are excited.
Thank you, Neva.
To mail you a mug so you can have coffee with us in the morning.
Yay. And one other new happening around here is that we are going to be doing a reading group outside of our Book Fair book club. This is a special 9-month project. We are going to be reading The Ethics of Beauty by Dr. Timothy Petitsis. This is a philosophy and theology book. We often talk about truth, goodness, and beauty around here as the three cornerstones of a classical education. And Dr. Patitsis's theory or premise of his book is that beauty comes first, that the way to all things good and true is through the beautiful. God draws us in through the beautiful. The beautiful is what awakens us. The beautiful is what draws us in. And there are 9 chapters in this book. So it is lovely. It is beautiful. I cannot wait to read it with all of you. We will discuss chapter 1. We haven't set a date exactly. Once I know who wants in, we will find a time that works for everyone. So you can either email us by going to the website and sending us a message, or you can message us on Facebook or Instagram and let me know you want to be in the reading group, and I will start compiling a list and let you know about our first meeting for chapter 1, end of January, beginning of February. Okay, me and Elizabeth have done a lot of talking because Amanda is leading the way on our very exciting topic today about habits. I hear she has quite a few quotes from famous people for us. So take it away, Amanda.
Well, welcome, Book Fair listeners. We are in the midst of a shiny new year. And in case you might be thinking, hey, this is a good time for me to think about why I'm reading, or I would like to read better, or to have some good habits, well, then we are here for you. That is exactly what we're talking about today. What are the habits of good readers? So first of all, I want to talk about habits and what we mean by that and what we mean by good readers. Habits implies, I think, someone who's pursuing reading to be part of their lives to some extent.
Yeah. And I think that's important because what extent that is just depends on you. How much do you want reading to be a part of your life? And however much that is, then you have corresponding habits that will support that.
Yeah, I usually think of habits as just bringing something into my rotation, and I get to decide, is it daily, hourly, monthly, but this is something that is occurring in my life, and then I define it accordingly.
And then a good reader. Here's my thought on what a good reader might be or look like. Someone who interacts with ideas that lead you to the true good and beautiful so that you can interact with the world and others and yourself with increasing humility, courage, and wisdom.
Oh, that's so nice. I like that vision.
Oh, thank you.
I do too, because it's so easy to say that someone is a good reader because they like the same books as you do. Oh, you know, they're a big reader. Oh, they read all books I approve of. But what you've left open is the idea of just exchanging thought and ideas. And that can happen in a lot of different genres, even if it's one that might not be your favorite.
Well, and notice that we didn't say fast reading, mm-hmm. or like how to read more books, how to read 100 books this year.
Long books, short books, number of books.
Mm-hmm. That may not be good reading.
I realized that my main definition in my mind of a good reader is just someone who reads.
There you go.
I mean, they're just... The reality is, I forget what the statistics are, they're very depressing, about the percentage of Americans who read anything, who pick up any book over the course of a year. So to me, if reading is part of your life regularly in any way, you're a good reader.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I mentioned the virtues of humility, courage, and wisdom. Hmm. And we're going to talk about today how you need these to be a good reader. And that the more you use them, the more of them you get. So like virtues beget more virtues kind of idea. And you just start with the amount you have and then pursue more. Kind of like if you want to lift a certain amount of weights, you have to start with some amount of weights.
Yeah. And if you're like me, every time you go back to the gym, you have to start with zero weight, like just the bar. Take all the weight off and just use the bar to lift until you've been doing that for a month. And then you can start putting weight on it. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yes.
Or start body where you weight. Start.
Yep.
Yeah. So this episode is going to be structured with those 3 virtues, humility, courage, and wisdom. And we're going to dig down into the practical and the detailed from there. So don't worry. We're going to get to logistics and everything. So let's start with humility. I did not come up with this myself, which was humbling. But when you think about it, this is so true. We do talk about there's a place for a lot of different genres and more light fiction, but we do want to stay plugged in with the greatest works of literature and pursue that. And so this idea of tradition and the classics and the great books, if it's worthy, if it stood the test of time, it has the vote of tradition. So here's my Chesterton quote about this. Tradition means giving votes to the most obscure of all classes, our ancestors. It is the democracy of the dead. Tradition refuses to submit to the small and arrogant oligarchy of those who merely happen to be walking about.
Wow.
I love him so much. So when you are reading a book that has the vote of generations upon generations of humanity, that this is worthy of your time, to approach it as such, to approach it with some humility.
Yeah, I like that, because you have to say humility is also, there's something I can gain here. There's something that I haven't yet thought about, or I need to continue to think of. But people are people. There is nothing new under the sun. So a book that was great then will be great now. I like the way you're presenting that, though.
Well, thanks. And following the idea of humility is the idea of repentance. And I've heard this talked about a lot in the Scholay Sisters podcast. And we're talking about reading books. So we're not talking about repenting of sin here, but in the broader definition of that word, that encountering a new thought can cause us to change in some way. And I have a quote from George Grant, who said, "True education is a form of repentance." Of course, we're not talking about education per se, but reading is a form of education. Okay, so back into the quote. So true education is a form of repentance. It is a humble admission that we've not read all that we need to read, we don't know all that we need to know, and we've not yet become all that we are called to become. Education is that unique form of discipleship that brings us to the place of admitting our inadequacies.
Well, like you said, it goes hand in hand with humility, because if you come to a book or books with the idea that I have something to gain from this, I have something to learn from this, with a teachable spirit, then when you encounter ideas or concepts that change you, that make you see where you can grow, where you need to change, then you will actually enact that, which is the process of repentance. It is the process of actually changing to do, think, and be something different.
Yeah, I'm thinking of it from a practical aspect of, you know, if there wasn't something that I knew I needed to learn more about to possibly, yes, change, or to whatever is going to be next, whatever is going to be different in me after this book, I would have never read A Thousand Splendid Suns. You know, a book about someone that was not like me on the other side of the world. You have to first start with the idea that I don't know about this, and I don't know about this experience, and I probably should, or I would like to. There's something I can gain here. I've never heard it framed repentance, but this is pretty interesting.
Yeah. I feel like in reading Little Women, every chapter, I'm like humbled and learning from Marmee, you know, every chapter. And a reader that has the habit of humility can enter the world of the story more easily, or take the author on his own terms more easily. And I want to say this episode was inspired by an article David Kern wrote for Circe about habits of good readers. And Angelina Stanford is quoted in that article on entering the world of the story. She says, "To fully enter into the book with open minds and open hearts, it's not that we abandon discernment or our duty to take every thought captive. Rather, we cannot judge a book before we have fully experienced it. If we are looking for a fight as we read, we will never really understand the book. As C.S. Lewis reminds us in An Experiment in Criticism, no poem will give up its secret to a reader who enters it regarding the poet as a potential deceiver and determined not to be taken in. We must risk
We must risk being taken in if we are to get anything. The best safeguard against bad literature is a full experience of good. And that's the end of his quote. And then Angelina ends, good readers take that risk.
Hmm. I think it's a really important reminder because for me, interaction with things like social media and news and that kind of information coming at you, I am always feel like I have to have my guard up. Mm-hmm. Like I always have to be skeptical. Who's saying it? What are they saying? What's their agenda? Motive. What's their motive? Is this a trustworthy source? You know, all of those things. And I mean, there's probably some wisdom in that in those online spaces because you're just kind of getting barraged by so many things. So I think it's interesting and important to remember that when you pick up a new book, it's okay to let yourself enter the world of the story and take the author on their terms. Now, I personally help to guard my own experience with that by getting good recommendations from people I trust, having, you know, podcasts and newsletters and things that I listen to from people I trust. So I have a better chance of this book being something that I am going to want to take into my heart and experience as it is. Reading classics, again, also ups your chance of that, because this is something that stood the test of time. So there is probably something worthwhile here. But when you are delving into any kind of art, to have respect for the person who created that, it's really important to give it a fair shake. You know, it's not really fair to dismiss a song after the introduction or to dismiss a painting after a glance. You know, it's important to give each other as artists and creative human beings the gift of attention and taking it in for a while before we make a decision.
All right. Readers with the habit of humility can also pay attention to and interact with what he reads. A reader reads well when he pays attention to what he's reading. That seems pretty basic, but it's worth saying. Andrew Kern says that requires that he seeks answers to his own questions, but not in the sense of forcing the book to give him what he wants. Rather, those questions are drawn from the text itself.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about highlighting and commonplacing in addition to coming to the book with a question. And those are other great ways to interact with the text. I will not forget when I read True Grit, I came to it because I had just heard Andrew Kern talking about coming to a text with a question. And I was asking of the book, what is justice? Because I knew I was going to be talking about that. And it was amazing. It was such a great experience. Do you have anything else you want to say?
I would say on the interact portion of it, for me, that is often stopping to look something up. Ooh, to, yeah. You know, there's so often that you didn't need to look it up to understand the storyline and you could have plowed right through, but you would gain more insight to culture or these sideline interesting points that, and this might be a funny example, but I am listening to Dracula right now for in-person book club. And he invites him before dinner to go make a quick toilet. And I am in my Western world thinking, does that mean go to the bathroom really fast of this proper world? That sounds so odd. So I looked up the phrase. I mean, I knew he meant dinner is in a minute and I could have moved on through it, but that was a common way of saying refresh from the road. You've had a big trip in an open carriage. Go take a minute, change your clothes. That doesn't mean what I thought it meant. And I could have plowed right through and not have had that little bit of old language brought into my vernacular that I'm certain I will use as a joke for new company coming into my house later. It didn't matter to the story, but it did further my understanding of that area of the country's language at that time, which just ends up being a funny, interesting, but I love to follow those trails. And I have to... That's for me, that's a lot of interacting with a story. It's just like, well, wait, what does that exactly mean?
Great point.
And I also kind of feel the need to say at this point that, you know, we talked about our purpose in reading. And of course, we talk all the time about all of the goodness that can come into our life through reading books of all different types. But I think it's also good to say that sometimes it is okay to just read for fun. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes yes. I just know what I need right then is a distraction, an escape, and I'm just picking up something that's a little fluffier to just sit down and enjoy. And that's okay. Like I just, especially if maybe someone's, this is their first episode, they're going to be like, these people are really serious about reading.
Yeah. If I turn and on we something are. While I'm cleaning, I'm not interacting with the text. And I had books that I fell asleep during and just kept right on the next day. Like that was fine. But you know, this is another option.
Yes. Sometimes we read for relaxation, for entertainment, and we might read because we're sick and can't do much else. And sometimes we just read for information. We just need some knowledge on a thing. And all of those things, different habits, because it's different purposes. Absolutely. So our second habit, especially in the context when you're reading a good or a great book, is courage. Courage, dear heart, you can do this. First, I wanted to talk about having the courage to see yourself as a reader. We tend to talk to ourselves in a certain way or pigeonhole ourselves, tell ourselves we are this kind of a person or that, or we can't do that, or we can only do this. And we can certainly do that in our reading life. And that builds up unnecessary resistance, among other things.
Identity drives behavior. Mm-hmm. So if you believe you are a reader, then you will read more. But particularly for people who maybe had a lot of bad experiences with reading, maybe you really hated over half the books you were ever assigned in school. And so you said to yourself over and over, I'm not a reader. I'm not a reader. I'm not a reader. And even though you now read in adulthood, you still have not taken on that identity. But like I was talking about earlier, if you read even one book a year, then you're a reader. You read. So I think that's really important.
I do too. So that we're invited to do whatever we think we want to do. We know that we can. We just, it's kind of like, we'll just pick up the book.
Yeah. This is not a context in life to limit yourself. All right. Readers that practice the habit of courage have imagination. So one way I mean that is bringing an open mind to the text and to your TBR list, that you're not just reading to validate yourself and your own ideas and experiences, but that you want to connect with experiences and peoples beyond your own and put on their ideas. And I have a quote from Jordan Peterson. These are the people who have lived before me and in different places, and I can set them up on my shelves. I can enter into their world, and I can benefit from everything they've thought, saturate myself with that person, and it's very disruptive, especially if that person has a more powerful mind and more well-developed than your own. It's unbelievably useful to try on other people like that, and you get the benefit of their entire life distilled down into their book.
And that does take courage. Mm-hmm. One thing that occurred to me as you were saying that is that sometimes we might need to save some of our courage for our reading life. And what I mean by that is if you don't think of your reading life as requiring any of your courage, none of us have unlimited amounts of energy and mental capacity and any virtue we might want to bring to this. And if you only read when you're exhausted and you've spent all of your courage doing other things, you might not be able to pick up a book that challenges you. And so if you want that in your life, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, I would love to bring some new ideas and new perspectives and challenge myself, then you're going to have to devote some energy and some courage to the times when you read.
Yeah, I really like that. This section is reminding me of when Trisha very first called me to say, hey, Amanda and I are thinking about starting a podcast about reading. And my first question was, well, I'm not the reader that y'all are. And I feel like the conversation you had with me was so much of what this episode is looking like, of you believe in the benefits. You do read. We're not putting those qualifiers in on time and amount and book length, but on the value you place in your life of it. And I don't know that I would have thought of that as courage, but
I know I have grown in courage throughout our time with this podcast as it's grown to a bigger part of my life. If I've said now, like, oh, well, yeah, sure, I'm going to read Les Mis, where I know before this, before I was as often coming and sitting aside times to think and talk about books, I would have said, like, well, that one is probably not for me. And now I'm like, what book is not for me? I don't have to get everything there is to get from it. This is my first pass, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was intimidated to start read anything Russian because it's a different way of thinking and they love all the 20,000 names each person has. So I started with a Pushkin short story and it was lovely. I just let the names wash over me. And I've since read Anna Karenina for the first time, which was life-changing. So I'm really glad I did that. And it did take some courage for me to do. And Trisha, I think you have just spoken a sticker that we need to provide. Save some courage for your reading life.
Yes, aww, for sure.
Love that so much. So something else that can take courage are goals. When you apply courage to your goals, a great goal to have is to read widely, meaning maybe read some genres or types of things that you haven't read before. There's so many wonderful things. There's poetry, there's short story, there's essays. Of course, there's fiction and nonfiction. So pushing your boundaries and reading things that intimidate you is a great goal. Another goal is quality over quantity, which we've already alluded to. And some of the ancient Greeks would say what and how you read are more important than even if you read. And one great book is better than 100 whatever books. And in terms of habit that we're talking about, my goal is always to read better books as time goes on, as I build those muscles. And I have one other thing about goals is that I know for myself, I need a goal that is doable.
Oh, yeah.
If it's too scary, I am not going to do it.
Yeah. So have courage, but also keep it within
reasonable.
Yeah.
All right. So armed with our humility, our habits of humility and courage, we will add to that wisdom. I think understanding the power of the written word is really important here. I've shared this Churchill quote before on our Professor and the Madman episode, and I think it's worth repeating. You see these dictators on their pedestals, surrounded by the bayonets of their soldiers and the truncheons of their police, yet in their hearts there is unspoken, unspeakable fear. They are afraid of words and thoughts. Words spoken abroad, thoughts stirring at home, all the more powerful because they are forbidden. These terrify them. A little mouse, a tiny little mouse of thought appears in the room, and even the mightiest potentates are thrown into panic. So understanding the power of what we choose to read, it's important to choose wisely. Choose wisely, you must. That's as good as my Yoda's going to be. So what is worthy of a place in the furnishing of your mind? Throwback to our episode with Heidi White. We'll link that in the description below.
This also made me think of a quote by J.K. Rowling that is, book burning is the last stance of a person who cannot argue. And I don't think you become a person who can argue until you're a person who can think, and you cannot think until you're exposed to different schools of thought and have to sit and discern them a little bit. So all of this is something that comes from just reading more, and conversations too, I would even say, but exchanging of ideas one way or the other. And there's so much talk about wanting to help our children make good decisions. And there's so many years that we can teach them that through just reading a story and letting them witness other people making decisions. Mm-hmm. And I, at 41, am still learning many of those things through the books I read.
Yeah.
And the habit of wisdom comes with understanding that sometimes you need a mentor and community.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, if there's a book that's hard for me or intimidating, or I just am not getting into, it really helps if I listen to a talk or a podcast or read something about that book to help me get into it and to frame the book or the characters or the themes. Of course, we understand the importance of community, and those in our book fair community really add so much to our reading lives. So thank you, everybody that's in that community.
This whole, my whole journey to, of the last 15 years, our book club is celebrating 15 years right now. And that book club started when I walked into the room of a dear friend, my friend Monica, and I said, there are some books I've always wanted to read, but I don't think I'm going to do it alone. Do you want to read with me? And she was like, yes, let's do that. And we started telling other people, hey, we're going to do this thing. We're going to start with Crime and Punishment. We're just going to read it together. We don't know if we'll understand it, but we're going to read it. We've always wanted to read it. And it was amazing how many people were willing to do that, wanted to do that. And that's what the book club was born out of. So realizing that in order to read certain things, you are going to need to do it with people completely changed my life. And now I do it all the time.
Yeah, you do. So if you need a community, join us. Go to our Facebook group and we will add you right in. It's a great group. So we need to apply wisdom to our logistics. When do I read? Where do I read? We just mentioned what do you read in choosing wisely. What should my frequency be?
Well, I quickly learned that I might get a little bit of reading done in the daytime, but if I really want to get through a book or have some time to think about a book, in my home, I'm going to get up before everybody's up. I'm going to set my coffee maker the night before. I'm going to lay a blanket out on the couch. And I'm going to have my book and my reading glasses right there so that I can get more than a page turn without somebody asking where toothpaste is. Yeah. And that won't always be my season, but it is identifying today where I am. If I want to get some reading done, this is what I'm really going to probably need to do the bulk of it.
Yeah. And for me, the logistics of it go back to the purpose of that particular book. So I may be working through a spiritual book. And in that case, Elizabeth, that's what I do. I will do it in the morning with, you know, some prayer time, some meditation time. If it's a book for fun and enjoyment, I may be listening to it as I do random things throughout the day. Mm-hmm. If it's somewhere in between, I may say, well, I'm going to read this for a little while before I go to bed tonight. Because I'm reading it with close reads or for book fair, and I want to be able to kind of sit and take notes or just pay a little bit more attention. So what the purpose of that book is kind of depends on the logistics that
your situation
need to surround it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in the context of habits of being a good reader, no matter what season you're in or what your logistics need to be, the idea of consistency, I think, is the most important. And maybe it's not daily for you. Maybe it's not weekly. But whatever you can actually do that's consistent, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah. I mean, just like anything else, if it's on the list of I'll do it if I get to it.
If I get to it. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
then
I'll
you
do
will
it,
not get to it.
Right. I'll do it when.
Yeah.
All of my family's needs are met, then it's never going to happen. Like, it has to be, if you want it to be part of your life, then there has to be a place that it's put in.
And I love habit bunching. Do you know about habit bunching? It's when you attach a new habit to an old habit.
Habit
something
stacking.
You already do. Habit stacking. Yeah, I was like, I know this has more names.
Yes, yeah.
I like habit stacking better. Okay. So the wise reader also has patience. Kind of piggybacking on what you were saying, Tricia, that it does take time, and we all have it. We all have time. We all have the same amount of time, and we have choices. So if you want it to be part of life, you just make the choice that fits.
Yeah, and there may be times when, I mean, I went through years when I didn't read very much, and that's okay. You may have seasons when there is legitimately so much going on, you do not have time. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have time now, then you find it.
Like we just mentioned consistency, some kind of rhythm is really helpful. If you want to use the faculties of your mind and soul to read something you haven't, to stretch yourself, some kind of a rhythm is really helpful. And just a reminder, understanding is overrated. You can have patience in reading a book that's a stretch for you and just let it wash over you. And that is good. All right. Finally, under our third habit for good readers, which is wisdom, you ultimately have to put the books down. because you have to apply these big and wonderful and universal ideas to your life. That is your purpose, ultimately. Ecclesiastes 12:12, say it with me, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. And this quote was either Marcus Aurelius or one of his mentors, but he said, against your will, you must put on the purple cloak of the emperor. Like, I gotta go wash those dishes at some point. I can't stay in the world of ideas forever.
Well, I think this is also kind of like when you go to the gym and you're lifting heavy things, you're not building muscle then, you're tearing it down. But when you go to bed that night, you are building your new muscle. So you read your books and you're exposed to all these thoughts and ideas. But as you continue to read, you're not marinating on them just yet. You put the book down, you go about your daily life. And in the back of your mind is this constant turning conversation that says, what do I think about it? Oh, that makes me think of that. And that makes me think of this. And then you're building this application of why it mattered to you, what you're going to take from it, and what you want to do next.
That is a great argument for reading at a slow pace, at least sometimes.
Yeah.
That's a great point. So listeners, what do you think of our top three habits for good readers? Humility, courage, and wisdom. Is this different than what you expected? Let us know what you think in the Facebook group, and what other specific and practical tips do you have?
Yeah, we went a little high level on this one, which is, you know, good. We do that sometimes, but we would love to know what habits you have in your life that help you to be a good reader.
Yeah, I would also say if you get to the end of this and you're like, what? Put it aside. That's okay. And then maybe if you are reading so much throughout the year and you feel like your reading habits and lives have changed, come back to it and then and see, does it resonate later? Because I think I could have listened to this exact podcast 2 years ago and been like, what is Amanda talking about? I'm following. I'm tracking with you now. And so, yeah, if it doesn't hit for you, that's okay. Come back to us later on this note.
And until next time, I'm Trisha.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Elizabeth.
And happy habits of reading. We are so glad you are here with us today. We can't wait to continue this conversation in the Facebook group. If you're not a member of our online community, look us up at Book Fair Podcast or connect with us on Instagram at Book Fair Podcast. We'd also love for you to visit our website, bookfairpodcast.com.
If this episode has meant something to you, the very best way to help us is to leave a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It is so helpful.
We look forward to more stories and shared ideas with you. So next time you've got dishes to do or a cup of tea to drink, we're here for you in the next episode. We'll see you next Tuesday.